there's a woman who I think she was the first black woman congressman, something like that. That's to say, and her name was Shirley something. What was her name again? Shirley something, maybe Temple. I don't remember. Something like that. And Al Capone, so she went to the Rebbe to ask the Rebbe if he would get the Chassidim, the Lubavitchers, to vote for her, you know, endorse her, you know, endorse her. So what happened? So the Rebbe said no. The Rebbe said he doesn't endorse anyone, right? But the Rebbe said he'll give her a bracha. I guess the Rebbe was nervous for the, you know, it would be maybe Ava or something, you know, he's going to say no to her. Sometimes these people can be dangerous, you know. So anyways, so the Rebbe gave her a bracha, and she won. She won, and I don't know, you know, if it had, I'm sure it had to do with the Rebbe, but I don't know, whatever. So she won the election. No, Lemaisa, she was all upset. Why? Because in those days, there was a lot of racism, and the Southerners were very in control of the government. So they somehow, I don't know the whole Maisa, but I think the story was they somehow she got like a puny shteller in the Congress, in the Senate. And her shteller was like, you know, she was in charge of like agriculture or something. You know, here she was, she wanted to come in and try to help whatever. And now she's like, you know, some agrarian, who knows. So she was all upset. So she came to the Rebbe. She came to the Rebbe. I don't exactly know how that happened again. I don't know. But she came to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe told her that he thinks she has the wrong hashkafa. It's the wrong attitude. You think that the pshat is that the only way you're going to be able to help your people and whatever is all you day. What? Is all you day, you know, if you're in charge of this department and that department, you know, if the Rebbeinu Shalom put you here, so then it means that there's a tachlis. So she's, and you know what else? I tell you, there's, in those days in America, there was a lot of surplus. Is the Rebbe talking now? There's a lot of surplus of like, there were, you know, too much milk and too much this, and they had to burn it and they had to get rid of things and whatever. So the Rebbe told her, that's an example. You should be, you know, figuring out ways to deal with that and to help people with that. No, Bekitzer, she had the first meeting with Senator, what was his name again? Robert Doily or something, I don't remember. Anyways, so they had a hold, and he said, you know, what are we gonna, the first question, what are we gonna do with all the surplus? So she said, I know. And she started to make this whole entire plan based on what the Rebbe told her. And what was the whole plan? The whole plan was that, you know, we're going to go and give it out and we're going to subsidize and give free milk. And with that, and she started one of the programs, and I think it's called WIC. I think that's what it's called. And she started it. And when she was, you know, she retired 14 years later or whatever, I don't know, 40 years later, whenever she retired, so she said, she owes it all to the Rebbe. She says, no. So that's the story that someone told me yesterday on Gimel Tammuz on the outside of the Rebbe. So now let me tell you some interesting stories that I had this week, because I know that's what you really want to hear. Interesting stories. I have some interesting cases. One case was like this. Now I'm not, you know, nothing that comes out of my mouth from this point. I'm just the Rav that they asked the question to, right? And I'm just the Rav they told the first story to. I don't, you know, don't take responsibility for any of the above. But it was a shaila like this. There was a person who is a smuggler of electronics. These are my friends that come to ask me shailas. What do you want from me? So he smuggles from one country and he smuggles them in to another country. Well, the countries will remain nameless. Let's say he smuggles from, like, you know, let's call it the United States, and he smuggles to, let's say, like Palestine or something. So he smuggles. No, and there's another person that gives him the money. I'm not advocating any of this for Baisa, but they also, I guess, have to ask Shilas, right? So he smuggles in, let's say, smartphones. Okay, what's a smartphone? You guys don't know. How do I describe it? It's like one of these phones that does all types of zachen for you, you know, even though it's really supposed to be just like a phone. You got one of them, like it can iron your clothing for you, right? And it does all types of things for you. Some of them can take you out of the Olam Haba even. I mean, there's a lot of things these things have, these phones do. So, the kids are, these phones, he smuggles. Ah, oh, does that? You see, he can have licenses and everything. So these phones he smuggles. That's what he does, you know. So you got to make a parnasa somehow, I guess, you know. What could you do? No, Robin Hood also made a parnasa, right? So we get to, he went and he smuggles these phones, right? And, you know, so what could you do? No, he's going to come back and look at Chihuahua? Probably, because he does Xayla, but that's, you know. So he smuggles these phones. So now somebody else gives him, let's say, money to smuggle, you know, to bring them in, and then he won't have to pay taxes on them and whatever. So let's say he smuggles in, let's say, so the guy gives him, let's say, how much do these phones cost? Like $20 or $30 or something. Not like, not cheap things, right? So let's say he'll give him like $1,000 and he'll buy like 30 phones and he'll bring him in and he'll smuggle them in that he doesn't have to pay taxes. So the person who gave, we'll call him Reuven, gave the money. Reuven gave $1,000 to Shimon to smuggle in 30 phones. And he took full responsibility on the phones. In other words, Reuven said that if you get caught, or whatever. So I'll take the money, achrayis. Okay, I'll take the money, achrayis. I'll take that. You know, if they confiscate them, and if you have to pay a fine, I'll take that. And he takes on himself the jail, achrayis. You know, it's a nice partnership over here, right? Maybe someone knows he's looking for a shidduch. Maybe someone knows a nice girl. Anyways, so the gitzer. So he flew to America. And then, and he was, you know, taking all these phones and he was smuggling. But what happened? Then came Corona. Came Corona. And now he wasn't able to get a direct flight back to Palestine. So now the big problem, big problem. And in Palestine, he knows all the Mahalchim about to, like, you know, sneak in and whatever. I don't know. Right. I guess he takes like a boat or something. I don't know. But he knows how to do it. I don't smuggle, so I don't know how to do it, but he does. So anyways, so he knows how to do it. So he couldn't get a direct flight. He couldn't get a direct flight. So what happened? So he had to get back to Eretz Yisrael because he has a job here. He has to smuggle him, right? You know, he's a parnasa. So whatever. Bekitzer, he went and he decided to take some convoluted way to get back to Eretz Yisrael. And now, I don't know, I think you could get a direct flight sometimes, but at this tufa, at this point of time, it was a couple of months ago, you weren't able to get a direct flight. So you had to do like a real, woo-wah, like a real ganz interesting thing over here in order to get back. And he took a flight, and I think he had, it was like a whole weird thing. I think he had to take a flight to South America, and then from South America, he had to go to France, and then from France, he was coming to Israel. Something like that, some type of a story. To make a long story short, in France, the phones were confiscated, right? You know, they don't stand for this there, and they confiscated how and what and whatever. I don't know exactly the stories and whatever. That wasn't what I was asked. What I was asked is that Reuven and Shimon, these two ganavim, have a machlekes now. What's the machlekes between Reuven and Shimon? Reuven tainis that I did not take a chrayis. I took a chrayis for a direct flight from America Teretz Yisrael, and also because he knows the mahalchim of the customs here, and he knows how to deal with it, and whatever. So that's where I took a chrayis. I didn't take a chrayis for this. So, you know, the convoluted way of going here, Derek France and this, I didn't take a chrayis. So he tainis, Shimon tainis, what's enough gamina, and you know, and you have to pay. No, who's right, Rabbi Yisai? And it's very hard to find the precedence because usually ganovim don't come to ask shaitas. You know?
I was just about to ask you. Now all of a sudden they care about halacha?
No, they, you know, what do you want? They're like the varsha ganovim, early guys, but they got to make a parnasa, so they steal. What could you do? But al kapanim, you know. But now they you know, now it's one against the other. You know, so they want to know what lemaisa. So I tried to find, like I always tell you, I try to find a precedence that somebody dealt with a similar case. And then I say, he paskined it. What do you need tragi callus for? I don't know anything. But if I found the precedence that somebody else paskined the case, so then I know that I'm okay. So I'll read you a case that I found in the Tshuvas Marshach. Okay? Not Marshach, Rav Shragi Callus. Marshach. Who is the Tshuvas Marshach? He never heard of you also, Sammy. So don't worry. Akapan Benitz from Mamish, hundreds of years ago. What was the story? Tell me if you think the story sounds familiar. There was a Maisa, the Reuven, that was mekabel money from Shimon in order to go and buy Schoira. Now, they weren't ganavim. He's dumb. He was going to Chutz Laaretz, I don't know where they were. They're probably in Hungary. But he was going out of town to buy Schoira. And listen to this. It's the same names. Reuven gave money to Shimon in order to buy Schoira. Now what happened? Reuven, when he got to, let's say, we'll call it France, he says it's Medina Acheres. When he got to a different country, it broke out of war, and it wasn't shayich, the borders were closed, and it wasn't shayich to get back. Sounds like Corona. So far, so good. Sounds like the same case, right? Then afterward, what did he have to do in order to get back? He had to take a whole convoluted road, and he had to go belave hayam. He had to go and now through a traveling by the sea. Till now, he's traveling by land, and now he had to travel by sea in order to get back. On the boat ride, there was a terrible storm, and they started throwing over a lot of the schoira, because the mice, they felt that it was going to make the boat go, right? And so they started throwing over the schoira. No, and what can you do? So now, kumt Shimon, right? Kumt Shimon, and he's tining that, you know, give me my money, right? I brought you your schoira and pay me, and it's not my fault and whatever. And he's saying, give me my money. What? He says, you have to pay me for the schoira. You have to pay me. There's Gilligan over there and the skipper too. He's saying, what? You have to pay me for the schoira. I'm not, what are you talking about? He says, you took achrayas. He says, nah, I took achrayas. I only took achrayas when you're going in the derech regil in the regular way. I didn't take achrayas on the boat route, right? So this shaila went to the mashach, and the mashach says that he brings the Rambam, and it's based on a Mishnah. And this is Gebaskin in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shintas and Siv Gimel. That the Shulchan Aruch says that if you were sacher to go, you hired a donkey to go on one mountain road, and he decided to go on a different mountain road, right? So then you can't have a taina if he died on the mountain road, if something happened to the donkey. Why? Because generally you can take on that all the roads are somewhat the same, and it's not considered a pshia, even if it's a little bit different, but it's not considered so different. So he says, this person traveling on the road was also, in the case he was talking about, traveling on the road was also something that was karech with the, it's not a simple route, Rabbi Isai. And karech, and even on this road, there was also a yam that he had to go through. So what's the difference, this yam, and what's the difference, that yam? It's different yams, and he's telling, I took a chayis for that yam. I didn't take a chayis for that yam. But that's like being sacher, a chamor, to go on this road, and you went on a similar type of road. If you went on a totally different route, so then that's a taina. But so he said, the Marshach over here, first of all, he was an oinus, and he had to change his travel plans. And second of all, the travel plans didn't have so much of a difference because both of them had a yam. So therefore, if you accepted a chayis, you accepted a chayis for this case too. So Mela, I told, that is what I think. I think that one of these ganavim, Itaka took responsibility, and I think he does have to pay, because Saif, what's the difference if he's traveling through there, if he's traveling through there? In all the situations, it's the same danger and the same risk. So therefore, a deal's a deal. So Chayri has to play. Now, there's another cheshbin you could talk about. Can a ganav be mechayev another ganav? And that has to do with a ganav and a ganav and whatnot. But over here, in this case, Pashtis, they made a deal, and Pashtis, it was a chayis, and Pashtis, he would have to pay. Should tell you another couple of cases? You like that case, probably, no? Okay. What's the moral of the story? Moral story is, don't smuggle smartphones. That's the moral of the story. Right? So now, should I tell you another case over here?
Ooh, was he smuggling them into centers? That's my question.
I can't give away everything, Rabbi Isai. Can't give away anything. Right. But now, our guys wouldn't get caught. Right. 1 minute. Now, let me tell you one more story. It's getting a little bit late here, but I want to tell you, interesting, you know, a lot of the questions going around now are that the Yungalite that had diras in Eretz Yisrael, and now they didn't come back due to the matzav of Corona, right? And so recently, one of the renters, you know, and I mean, you know where my Nagi is, right? My Nagi is the renters, because those are all my Talmidim, right? But one of the renters tainted that, you know, he's already 5 months not here, 4 months, something like that. And he really thought the whole entire time that he doesn't have to pay, because he thought to himself, like, I'm an oinus. What do you want from me, right? I'm an oinus to be able to come back. So I'm not going to have to pay for rent when I'm an oinus. I would love to come back, and I can't come back. That's what he said. And then he found out this week that his landlord doesn't seem to agree with that. I wonder why. So he asked me, you know, he basically said to me, like, what's going on? What do I do now? Right. So again, you know me, I just like to find things in Svarim that talked about the Shilas so that I don't have to deal with it. So I found in a Tshuva Sefer called the Morva Hollis. from years ago, hundreds of years ago. He doesn't know you, Sam. He doesn't know. Right? From years ago. And he says over there that there was a person. Does this sound familiar? There was a person that rented.
A new reshiner, a new Akron that always comes out that I always learn about. Yeah. There's never
this is
a
the guy.
Name like, you know, we always have the classic Marshall, the Ritz, the Raj, but we never hear it constantly. I keep on hearing new people every single day.
Baruch Hashem, you came to learn by me. So in the more of Vayeholos, in the 30th Siman, he talks about, does it sound familiar? A magefa broke out in a city. It sounds pretty familiar, right? A magefa broke out in a city. There was somebody renting a deer in that city, and he ran away from the city because of the magefa. So when he ran away from the city because of the magefa, so now he comes back, and the landlord said, a deal's a deal. You rented the deer. For the last year, you didn't pay, and this is your deer. Schiris is a Kenyan. You own the dira for a year. I don't care if you lived there, if you didn't live here, but you have to pay. Right? So he says, what do you mean? I was an oinus. I had to run away. What are you talking about? There was a magefa in the town. I had to run away. Right? So he writes over there that there's no question that if he paid the money already, so then for sure he's a muchzik in the money, and he's definitely not going to be able to get that money back. Okay? But he says like this. I'll read you his words. Right? He says, why? He says, the bias is kayim. The bias is there. There's another problem in the bias. There's not something about the house that doesn't work. Elamai, there's a magefa that's around the town. So therefore, you're timing that you can't use the bias. Why can't you use the bias? The bias works. Elamai, you're saying that there's a problem with the city. Okay, but the bias is intact. And then he says, Va'oid, he says, you certainly don't have to give back the money. Why? Because he says, all right, in this case over here, we're not dealing with a house which is unlivable. You can live in the house. All you have to do, and listen to these words, l'shamar m'liga b'cholvel mabushav. Just wear a proper mask and wear the proper gloves. This is going on 300 years ago. Wear the proper mask and wear the proper gloves, right? And according to the roifim, then you won't get stuck with it. And the chayli comes from shemayim, so it's not the bad mazel of the landlord. And therefore, you could say, your house is here and go and pay.
Rebbe, what about
it? Just give me one moment. Because I want to just add one nekuda over here. No, it could be you're about to say it. What do you want to say?
No, I just want to know, like, what if you're paying for, like, you're not just a dira, but also, like, stuff that you use? Let's say if there's, like, a gym or something like that in the dira that you would use, but now you can't because of the situation.
He can't get to the, I don't understand.
Let's say he can't go, let's say if there's two different buildings, and if you live in this building, you could use that building, but you can't go outside in now the Rosh Hashanah because of this magefa.
Not that he's renting the gym, it's that he has a membership to a gym.
Because of his dira, let's say that's.
What do you mean because of his dira?
Let's say his dira comes with a deal that, like, I don't know, it's one big company or whatever.
Dira comes with a deal. And now part of that deal is affected. Okay, that's a different shiloh. It's a different shiloh, and I have to think about it. That's an interesting shiloh. But over here, I think it's pashit, no shiloh, l'chaira, that the landlord is right. Even though I told you I have an agia. But I think there's no shiloh, the landlord's right. Why? Because if I say, first of all, was there any need to run away at all? Definitely not. If anything, Corona and Eretz Yisrael was much, much less of a problem than everywhere else. So was there a need to run? And I'll prove it to you that there was no need to run, because there was not one person in the world that ran except for the people that were going back anyways, right? So that's not called you ran away from the magefa. That's called you ran for matzah balls. Right? And that's also called that you, not only that, you didn't even get the matzah balls because you wound up having to have by yourself your seder probably. But so there was definitely no need to run. So I have now an apartment here in Eretz Yisrael, sitting right there, usable, like you just saw the Lashon, totally usable, totally efficient, and nobody asked you to run, right? And not only that, the plot thickens for Avreichim and Yugalite that have diras here. Generally, it is a process, but it is possible to come back. And therefore, the whole Shiloh doesn't even start. Because if he's not coming back, that's a cognizant, you know, decision that you are making to not come back. So now you have a rented deer over there and you're just choosing not to come back. So therefore, Ladaiti, and I think that's the psak of the Paiskim really anyways, so you don't need me to say it, but that's the psak of the Paiskim, is that the landlord is right in these situations. Now, what you should do is, as fast as possible, get your stuff out of there, and you probably have a right to break the contract and give him like a 2 months notice or something like that, because otherwise this can go on and on if you decide you're not coming back. That's what you know. That's what I would think. And therefore, there's no shot in the world that he has to pay the landlord. And I feel bad for him. But you know, what could you do? Have a great Shabbos, everybody. Say.